Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 277 shows and counting. And we're going to have another great show. He's be calling in from the UK. It's midnight over there, and we're going to welcome him aboard. And he's going to be talking. Our topic this evening will be challenging society's attitude to undesirable dogs and disadvantaged people. I want to welcome everyone aboard, all you new listeners. I hope you enjoy the show and keep coming back and, you know, spread the word, because the more voices out there and action takers, the faster the changes will be made. Strength in numbers, Ray Bittner. I love when she says that, because it's so true. The more of us that come together, the stronger and better we become. So I'm going to just go over a couple things before I bring him on the show. His name's Spencer Hodges, and he's the founder and host of ReboundDog.com. And like I said, he's calling in from the UK. So we're going to hope he stays awake and everything. But anyway, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. Marty Oakley, give her a big shout out for help promoting this show every Thursday. Check out the PPJ Gazette. You can share the articles or podcast from the bottom of the article or on the right hand side. You could follow, and every time there's a new article or podcast, it will be delivered to your primary email. And it also has share, so you can even spread the words by then followers. And Marty has some awesome, I mean, hot topic shows during the week, everyone. So if you want to check them out, she is one big great voice out there and helping out the elderly. I mean, the list is on. But thank you, Marty Oakley. And thank you for helping me out with Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. That's where I first started. Also, on Blog Talk Radio, if you search on Blog Talk Radio, Voices Care for Animals, you'll see all the links that all the shows that are archived. So you can listen and share 24/7. There's a lot of important information on there, how you can help out. Websites you can visit, Facebook pages or groups, and just keep, you know, passing it along, because you can at your own convenience, because I don't think there's been one bad show yet. So, and I know I shouldn't be bragging, but my name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Care for Animals. And another thing, on the right hand side of the PPJ Gazette, you can also find the shows on there. If you just go to the search bar, put in Voices Care for Animals, all the links will pop up also on there, or on Blog Talk Radio. And you can follow on also on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. So please spread the word, because all these shows with all these amazing guests and the callers and the audience have been outstanding. So let's keep up the good work for the animals. We are the animals' voices, and we must be heard, everyone. So if we don't take action, then there's no changes. So I'm going to bring him on board, Spencer Hodgetts, and like I said, founder and host of ReboundDog.com. How are you there, Spencer? Welcome aboard. This is such an honor and pleasure. Yes.
Likewise, you took the words out of my mouth, Debbie. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm wide awake at midnight here in the UK.
If I hear you snoring, I'll just kind of yell and wake you up, okay?
That's very kind of you.
It's midnight there.
Thank you. Yeah.
But welcome aboard, and I know this is going to be a good show. And a big shout-out to Carolyn Griffin, too. She was a former guest on the show. But what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead, and then later in the show, I will be taking calls for the guests. And everyone, I have the same number every week. If you want to store it in your contacts, area code 310-982-4270. And if you press 1, you're going to be in the queue, but it'll alert me that you want to come and speak to the guest. And just like I said, it's the same number every Thursday. But I want to get started here, Spencer. You want to go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started. You're a great inspiration to humans and animals. But go right ahead.
I've been thinking about this for several days before I talk to you tonight, and it probably goes back 50 years when we rescued first dog. And so I've been rescuing dogs for half a century and had an empathy with them. And then that's gone on. This is a very short story. Then about 4 years ago, I was watching one of these videos of the prison dog programs you have over in the USA. And I saw the light bulb not go off on itself, but I saw the light bulb ignite inside both those dogs from the rescue centers, the ones that had been kicked around and never had anybody listen to them. And those people who'd actually started to have someone listen to them without prejudgment. And that's so important. And there was this wake up moment. You could see it between the dog and the person. And they didn't get, I'll be polite, they didn't give a monkeys who that person was or who that dog was. It was actually that empathy that was between the two of them. So I looked at that and I thought, hang on a minute, I can understand this. I've been observing and listening to people and observing and listening to the natural world all of my life. So I thought, what can I do with this? And how can I do this? And the early inquiries made me realize that here in the UK, our English prison system is really hard to break into, and yes, there is a pun intended in that. The alternative to that is trying to start a prison dog program in the UK. There is one in Scotland which has different legislation, and she's doing very well with that. I could start as a one-man, I'm in my 60s, so I could start as a one-man dog and his trainer, and it's a seriously slow way to scale to go around to one care home or one prison or homeless charity or whatever. And the same goes for starting out as a home-based dog rescue. It's just not financially sustainable. You must have it in the US as well as we have it in the UK and other parts of the world, where it's so hard to finance that rescue center. It's okay for the really big guys and that have been around for the best part of a century doing it, but for those that are home-based, it's scratching around on a car boot sale trying to raise the money or living on beans on toast. And I don't think it's right for the, I don't think it's fair to the animal. So I looked and I thought, what do I enjoy? What am I good at? What do I find easy to do? And the two things I find easy to do is to connect people and to network with them. And I'm able to do that with industry leaders, both in this industry and in previous industries as sustainability and logistics. So I thought, how do I sow a seed of something that would enable those dogs that struggle to easily find a new home and the people who struggle to participate in society, whether the veterans with the PTSD, the ex-prisoners, the elderly who have got a horrendous loneliness problem, or autistic people, the people that are disengaged. And we have this problem in Western society particularly where those types of people are labelled. And as soon as we see what we prejudge and we put that label on, we put them into a box, into a parrot. I'm talking with my hands. If I was on video, you'd see my hands walking. And we categorize them. And the problem is we don't listen. We really, really don't listen to people. We've got so regularly, we're trained, we're educated, whatever, we behave, that when we have a conversation with people, are we actually listening to them? I don't think so. There's research that shows something like 45% of our communication time is listening. But is it really what is now called deep listening? We tend to talk, and we're, as you're talking and I'm talking, the person receiving the is not really listening to what the person's saying. They're waiting to pitch back in with their own viewpoint, to put their own tag on it, to their own self-importance. That's not listening. That's a little crap. But what a dog is able to do, because it doesn't understand English, it understands something, yeah? It's able to actually listen without that prejudgment. So I thought, how do I create this movement? How do I create this engagement with people? And I've seen over the years, and it's not only in this industry, it's in all industries, there's a loads of people, you, me, Caroline, everybody to think of, all the big organizations, all the big homeless charities, all the big dog rescue charities are great at doing what they do. There's nothing wrong with what they do. But they and we all struggle to achieve that social impact that we cannot do alone, because the problem is now, these social issues are now classed as wicked issues, wicked problems. They're too big for, and they've been going around for centuries. You go back to looking how far homelessness has gone back in. Look how far dog rescue and the way we behave to animals. It's not just in the dog rescue sector. It's in the whole way we treat animals and our relationships in society with animals. So how do we start to solve those? And one way of solving them, I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all of it, doing everything, but one way that has huge potential, and it's shown, is a thing called social impact networking, where we network not just as a business organization networks, or a business person goes to a BNI meeting or something like that, where their primary aim is to gain sales. The whole purpose is to create that social impact that we can't do alone, and we do that by reciprocal networking effects that build out. So how do we do that? How do we engage people? Well, you asked me how I started. I was inspired by this. I've been on LinkedIn for donkey's years, and I've done research and I've done surveys of LinkedIn members. So about a year, 2 years ago, I started pivoting into the dog sector on LinkedIn and started connecting with all the people like yourself, like Caroline, with Deborah Hamilton and other people, to find out what was actually happening and what were the things that were being posted about and talked about. And following on from that, I started posting regularly, not my own stuff, but other industry-specific stuff. And I've done that on a regular basis, not particularly every day, because time is limited like it is for everybody. But I search out for interesting, usually research-based things that will make people sit up and listen and say, hang on, that group of people is doing something about this problem. Well, that's a great piece of research, because it actually proves that human-animal bond, human-animal interaction actually works. There's a value to it. So how do we do that? And then following on from, and how do we, the bigger problem I probably haven't talked about, because this is ad-libbing as I talk, is how do we create these dogs that are labelled as undesirable, the ones that are in the rescues, you call them shelters, we call them rescue centres in the UK, they struggle. They can be in there for a year or more, and we have it with the pit bulls both in this country, because they're labelled because they're breed specific labelling and so forth. How do we help them to find a home? How do they create value? And I got this thing that, and it's shown it's there's potential for it to happen. How do we exponentially create programs similar to what you and I label as the prison dog programs? So whether they're relevant to, say, the veterans, the PTSD, the elderly, the autistic. Yes, there are individual groups, but they're all still making a small impact. There's a huge potential, especially as a certain sector of this society will become more compassionate about the way we go about our business and the way we go about our daily lives post-COVID-19, whenever that is. Nobody knows at the moment. It's going to be next year at least. How do we actually create social change, and maybe on a global scale, whether it's from Australia through India through California into Florida where you are, back into the UK where I am, and down into Europe? How do we actually bring these people together so we actually create a huge impact? And so I started looking at all these things, and one of the things I did in January, I created a, as you're aware, Debbie, is a LinkedIn group to bring the pet advocacy and the therapy professionals together to network, to start engaging. And as you've seen, and I've started hosting regular calls, initially using Skype, and that may move as a platform to something else in the near future. So we can actually start to talk to one another and bring the people together. So following on from that, this May, I thought, I'll stick my neck out, because I've always stuck my head again above the parapet. I've done it in trade union things, I've done it in other sectors as well. I'll stick my neck on the line and say, okay, I'm not perfect, I don't know all the answers, but I'm damn good at making you sit up and listen. So I built my own website. I'd been searching for ages for a name, and about 4 years ago, probably in the 60s, I went out and raised food for the dogs of the homeless down in the southwest of England where we were living at the time, and came up with the title of the Underdogs of Society. And as soon as you say underdogs, it puts prejudgment on you. So that wasn't going to work. So I bounced ideas around and came up with the title of Rebound Dog. And it's the fact that it's a combination of a person or a dog rebounding from some crap or people like that had happened. And obviously the dogs are involved. And if you look at the logo I chose, somebody asked me a while ago, why did you choose that logo? The logo is two brackets and they're open. And the reason they're open is the dog is allowed to escape. It's not shut in a box. It's not shut in this cell. And if you think about cells, on one of the posts you showed about me talking to you tonight, you've put a picture of a black and white dog behind a chain link fence. That I've used, it's not my photo, it's actually a 1960s photo, real life dog rescue dog in Orange County, California. So it's so relevant to what we're talking about today. So what I want to do is break those bonds, to break that limiting thing that it's boxed, it's contained. And rambling on, we have this problem that there's a huge cost to people not being engaged in society. I was reading an article just before I came online that somebody was looking at the fact of homeless people in the UK. It's something like a £9,000, so you're looking at $11,000 cost of a person being homeless. If you multiply that, it's phenomenal. So how do we start to, the question is, and I'm always questioning, is how do we create something that's going to change that system that we're so used to labeling all these people into? So that's what Rebound Dog name came from. That's what the logo came from. It's allowing that to escape from those limiting beliefs, those limiting frameworks that we label and put everybody into. And why the hell shouldn't an ex-prisoner, an elderly person, a veteran, person who's autistic? Yeah, I turn things the wrong way and label things. I came online tonight and I automatically expected the Skype to dial the number you'd given me, because I've got an account that I'm dialing to the USA. I didn't expect to have to put plus one. It took me three goes to get in. You know, that's how I think. So why do we get so penalized for being slightly different? Who says there's a perfect person? Who said there's a perfect dog? No dog's perfect. We currently have four dogs. Yeah. Three are rescued and one's a pedigree. None of them are perfect. Never have been, never will be. They don't do those things. So that's what rebound. So the idea behind Rebound Dog is to do two things. One is to create this social impact network where we can actually bring people together who then can collaborate on projects. Whether it's feeding the dogs to the homeless, whether it's training dogs to help other people, or teaching people, disadvantaged people, how they can train the dogs so they can get, so it's teaching people to fish, it's rather than just feeding them. And the second thing is to create a membership site so the professionals in the wide world like yourself and others can actually teach other people how to be animal advocates and so forth. So that's a little introduction.
Yeah, that's awesome teaching, because you're, you know, both angles. Like you said, nobody's perfect out there. And whatever we could do, and you're, I checked out the website. It is awesome, you know, with all the info. You can become a member. And everybody, if you want to check it out, Spencer's website. But Spencer, there's a little bit of sound coming in from the background. I don't know if it's a volume control on the call, or do you hear that like in the background?
Might be me. I wouldn't know how to get rid of it. I was having this old laptop tweaked.
Yeah, because I want to hear you loud and clear. You know, because what you're doing.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. And there's just this, yeah, the sound went down in the background. Great. Okay, but anyway, everybody, all the audience out there, please check it out. It's rebounddog.com. And that's REBOUNDOG.com. And also, I'm involved in his group on LinkedIn, Pet Advocacy and Therapy Professionals Network. And if you're linked on, you know, ask to join and go and check out what they, you know, got there. It's connecting people, networks, and you to influence change. Together, we will change society's attitude to animal and human exclusion. So Spencer is listening to networking skills is to bring people together who can make social impact happen locally, nationally, and internationally. And that's awesome there, Spencer, because I know you're out there, you're relentless, and you're being a positive impact. Because, you know, these undesirable dogs, they need attention too, and disadvantaged people. You know, so the elderly, the children, the animals, you know, the homeless, the veterans. I mean, this list is huge. You know, that it can help from all angles. And it is. I mean, together we can make a difference. We just got to at least try, right? I mean, we can't give up making better lives and futures and bringing it to the spotlight and not ignoring it. Because, you know, these homeless animals, they're even in the United States, you know, they need, all of them deserve a tender, loving care home, attention. And these service dogs are being so much helpful, you know, to the ones that need them. If you're ever out in the stores, I see them out there. And they're great, you know, the dogs are man's, woman's, and child's best friends out there. So when we give them love and care and pay attention to them and give them the life that they deserve, then, hey, it's going to a positive direction, right? I mean, we can't say it isn't. It's not negative. And but please, everyone, on that website, and you can, you know, sign up for the membership. Share the website, you know, out there, because it takes teamwork to see any victories and to see any positive changes. Because, you know, over in the UK where he's calling from, you know, there's animals all around this world. And, you know, the dogs that don't get that much attention. And I see him on Voices Caring for Animals, a support group on Facebook. They're coming in, you know, to get rescued, to make them to safety, the ones that really need help. Whether it's medical or, you know, therapy or whatever it is coming in from all over the world. And I allow that because, you know, there's people from all over the world in these groups and on my Facebook page. So whatever we can do, Spencer, keep up the great work you're doing, because this is awesome.
Thank you.
That social media is awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
I touched on the idea of posting other people's information and so forth, and it was research based. And what I'd noticed over the last this year, the two most popular, two common posts that had the most reaction. One was on about how it's Australian research that showed how a family dog could help preschoolers learn social and emotional skills, because the dog ownership is linked to responsibility, positive identity, empathy and trust, where there's a social reciprocity back and forth relationship. That was the number one. And the second one was UK research, which was touched on pet-friendly homeless accommodation. So there's a humongous, based on those responses, they're getting like 5,000. The first one got 20,000 views, and the second got like 5,000 or something. And the numbers of comments or interactions, not just the likes, there's interactions on both of those. So it's showing there's an awareness out there that people are interested in this subject. It's not just you and me, or this, etc. So I talked about growing into a more compassionate society as we move into next year, and hopefully this horrendous COVID-19 thing will lessen. I won't say it go away, because I don't think it ever will do. I think it will stay like flu. But I think that you can see from the responses on those posts that there's an emotional connection between people and people who want to do something. And if we look at what I believe in alcohol, it may be millennials, I might have got the term wrong, but it's those people who want to take action, and they want to take social action, they want to do something with their life, they want to be engaged. So if we can, I talked about educating people, if we can also educate the next generation to become animal, pet, dog, cat, horse advocates, then there's a huge opportunity. It's educating the next generation of children how can they listen without prejudgment, so they become better engaged in conversation. At the start of this introduction, I mentioned how people don't really listen to each other. They just want to add their own business. They want to do it. I'm right. I'm right. This sort of thing. It's not about sitting back with your mouth shut waiting for the other person. So if we can teach those children how to do it, and dogs are a great example. You just sit there. You think about how many stories there are where kids and dogs go into schools and help the children learn to read. Oh, they go, this, I think it's happening in the UK, I'm sure it's happening in the US, where there's dogs used in brains gone to sleep, legal cases where the child is in court because it's been abused or something horrible else has happened to it in its previous life, and it goes to give witness or whatever, and it clams up, it just shuts up like that because it can't express itself. It's frying, I'm shaking like this. Yeah, and it's been proven with the dog in next to it, the child talks. So why don't we just do it all over the place? To me it's so obvious. Why aren't we doing this? And if we look at it from a government point of view, a society point of view, it reduces the cost to society of having people sit outside of in the dark shadows, as I call it. It's horrendous. We must be, if you talk about GDP, we must be wasting billions of dollars and pounds and whatever else currencies are across the world in excluding people. And it's only really about having empathy and reciprocity to people. You know, you're in the States, and if you go back, there's again research been done on the way, if I got the term right, Native Americans do reciprocity. And it's not about giving and expecting something in return. It's actually just giving the thing. Yeah. And sometimes you'll get something back, and sometimes you don't. But does it matter? You've given. That's all it's about. You don't have to have this, I want something in return. It's not a barter system. And that's what listening is about. That's what emotional connection with people is about. And talking of deep listening, I was having a conversation earlier this month, it might have been late last month, with Deborah Hamilton, the mediation lawyer up in New York, and we were talking about the issue of deep listening, and it also relates to what we call vets in this country, which is the animal vets, not the military veterans. And there's a case where there's a lack of communication between the animal vet and the client, the customer, the person, because maybe the person, the customer, has expects something not quite right. So how do we engage those people? That's another angle to it. How do we engage those people so we can train the veterinarians to have deep listening skills so they can understand their clients? It takes away the stress, because I'm digressing, but you think about the number of veterinarians. Isn't it the industry in the whole, it's definitely in the US and it's in the UK, it has the highest suicide rate because of the pressures and stress. It's not just stress in what we see as what is normally labelled as disadvantaged people. It happens to professionals as well, because it's a lonely, I won't swear it's late and you're on air, it's a lonely world out there. And if you want to read about loneliness, read my blog on it. Yeah, my take. I've been doing it for 50 plus years since I was a kid. But there's a whole range of issues of how we can address, and I don't have the answers, but I'm trying to sow the seed in somebody out here is listening to this call, or they're going to listen to the recording of it, and it might just be one person, they'll go, wow, I could help with that. I'm not asking for charity, I'm not asking for that side of it, but how do we get that one person to go, I could do something with that, I've got skills in that, I could bring my knowledge to the table. Let's make a round table within Rebound Dog and bring people together, and it's how can we, oh, I can do that bit of it, oh, I know somebody who does that. And that's how you network. It's slowly, the other term is mesh working, because you're now a ramble, but it's how you, my background is horticulture, is the environment, it's the natural landscape. And if you look at that, whether you're in a beach scenario in Florida, I'm guessing where you've got the Everglades and the swamps, you go in there and you think about the interactions and symbiotic relationships you have in an Everglades in Florida, or even the desert out in California or something, and I'm ad-libbing, you think about those relationships. How do we bring those, the understanding of those, into how we network people? And it's a symbiotic relationship right the way throughout. But if we can get one person to listen to this radio shape and say, yeah, I could help with that, because I've got an idea, and I will listen to anybody, and I'll help somebody. If somebody's got an idea, I will introduce, that's the other thing, I just love introducing people. And it's, how do we introduce that person to somebody else? And I'm not a great name dropper. We can go through my LinkedIn thing or whatever, we can go through Rebound Dog's membership, I'm not name dropping. I might name drop somebody in a minute, but I'm not going to name drop somebody who's just doing LinkedIn my connection. His animal advocacy or collaborative advocacy world in the US is phenomenal. Yeah. So how do we bring his skills into the table? Yeah. It's slowly, but it's, he might not want to do anything. He might just sit in the background. But how do we get one person, two people? And if you've, years ago when I was doing union training, there was a video going viral, and it showed one kid at a music festival dancing in a field by himself, and it was how to grow movement. And it goes, one person dancing doesn't make an impact, and it, you don't get people to join, you get the second person. It showed a video, and I can find the link, I'm going back 10 years, and it showed two people then dancing together, and suddenly when two people dance together, the third one dances. Because people are less frightened to stand up with the head above the parapet and say, I believe in that, I'll help you do that, I'll dance. And it's how do we engage these? That's what I'm looking, it's how do we engage people to take more action, to take more, create more social impact. If I can help the undesirable dogs and the disadvantaged people through a platform called Rebound Dog, then I'll retire happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, between the UK and the USA, you know, they with kids, especially growing up and getting them, showing, you know, teaching them at a young age, you know, respect animals, you know, and go well with them front lines, because kids can, you know, talk among other kids and keep spreading the word, you know. So it's a great thing to do, even with, you know, in the schools, to visit the animal shelters. And I've seen this, I've mentioned on the several shows where, you know, the children visit these shelters, and I've seen articles on them and read them books, the dogs, and they love that because they're in a very special, you know, I mean, a very stressed out environment, being in a cage and not living the life that they should be. I mean, we know they're safe, but we'd rather have them in a home where they're loved and cared for and, you know, attention to. But, these, you know, starting them out young is the key right there, because then they grow up through their whole life and they you know, show compassion towards animals and respect and dignity. And it's great to do. And when I seen those photos of those children reading the books to the shelter dogs, that was so heartfelt and meaningful, you know, bringing them close together like that. Because, you know, the children I know over here, you know, throughout relatives and friends and stuff like that, they love, you know, being around their pets, their furry brothers and sisters. So they're getting taught young, and you love to see that. And but kids can spread the word, you know, through schools and teachers and everything. So, yeah.
Which reminds me of the court, and you've talked about name dropping. You mentioned Caroline's name, as in Caroline Griffin, the co-founder of Show Your Soft Side up in Baltimore, Maryland. And you look at the work her public service campaign is doing to educate those kids who would normally be in gangs who abuse animals, who think it's cool. And she's doing brilliant work, and she has done for several years on two occasions. One, because she's worked out a way of engaging those children, and not through doing it through herself, but she's managed to engage the, what do you call it, the American footballers, the big 20 stone guys, whatever weight you call it, in the, you know, with all the tattoos and the shaven heads. And she's got them to be her softies, as she calls them, so she can have them as her ambassadors to educate the kids in the gangs that it's not cool to abuse an animal, that it's changing children's concept of animals. And the same, and my mind's gone blank, I know she's down near you, or she's in Alabama. You've had her on her radio show, and she's a softie as well for Caroline. She's is she Puerto Rican? She does. Oh, no, I can't picture her. I can't think of her name. Okay, I digress. But she does work by educating the kids in the homes. But there's loads of people doing that. But it's brilliant. And the other thing, thinking of Caroline, I will give a shout out for that. I'm not sure if it was either today or yesterday. Were you aware, Debbie, that she, through her organization of Show Your Soft Side, has donated $50,000 worth of pet food?
Wow.
That
is awesome.
It's either 50 tons or $50,000, but I'm sure that's what she's found sponsorship, and she's actually given away. I haven't talked to her, but that's as far as I know from her social media postings. You know, she's found a way of actually finding that much money to give away, especially whether it's gone to homeless or whether it's just gone to people who are struggling financially, because you think how many millions of people who've lost their jobs in the US. We've got a horrendous number in this country, but over in the States it must be phenomenal. The impact is far wider. But she's managed to do that. That's just one city in the States. I know of other ones, but I will give a shout, because I've got huge respect for the work she does.
That is wonderful. That's so meaningful and heartfelt. And audience, if you want to call in, area code 310-982-4270, press 1 and I'll let you in. I just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations. And you're more than welcome to come on board. Any questions or comments for Spencer Hodges over in the UK? Listen in worldwide, everybody. A big hello to anybody in the UK that is listening and hope you continue to, you know, listen to this show. I know it's a different time zone, but some of us stay up late, so whatever you can do. But that is $50,000. That is wonderful. Wow.
I better go and check. I'm sure that's what she did.
Oh, I've had I've had Karen Hams. She is founder of the Angel Hams for the Homeless on the show several times, and she helps out the homeless out there in California and their pets. And once, you know, a month, they have a big gathering, and people bring, you know, clothes, and they have meals for them. You got to give these people a chance and give them hope to carry on. You know, and a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people's losing their jobs in the United States, have lost their jobs. So we got to be there for them, help them out, you know, going through these stressful times. And I hope this COVID-19, I mean, the positive side, it is 98% curable. Okay, like, let's say pneumonia and upper respiratory infection, the seasonal flu, bronchitis. I mean, there's a list here, but we cannot let COVID-19 control us and stop us from our everyday living and our recreations and our, you know, liberties. We have to do what we have to do, you know, to stay healthy and everything, but you know, we can't let us, we got to live on faith, not fear. And keep thinking positive. Because, I mean, a 98% curable rate, that is a positive right there. You know, not everybody that gets it dies. And we have to, you know, keep going on with our lives. And hopefully one day we'll be destroyed. COVID-19 and coronavirus. So, whatever we can do with these children, and then, like I said, with Karen Hams, a big shout out to her, what she's doing out in California. I wish there was more like her in the United States, you know, and everywhere, every state out there. And put the homeless, you know, in the spotlight, say, hey, we're here for you. And that's a great feeling to them. Kindness. Kindness rocks there, Spencer. You know, that's what we
it certainly does. The lady I was trying to refer to, the name slipped me, is a lady called Grace Hamlin, who I believe has been on your show previously.
Yes, yes. Look what she's doing.
That's what I was thinking.
She's wonderful. She's been on here several times and going to have her back. Her and Carolyn, too, and you. So,
thank you.
Something to look forward to. I just don't have a guest on one time and say goodbye. You know, I mean, 277 shows this evening. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving forward and keep bringing the positive in, you know, because this COVID-19 is holding up a lot of things for the animals, especially laws that are being on hold, because these animals are out there suffering and they need our help. So we got to put it in the spotlight. We know COVID-19 is important, but we got to take care of it.
They certainly do need our help.
That's right. We can't put them on the back burner. You know,
no, we can't just switch off and say we've got something else to do. Because it's horrendous.
Okay, we got a caller from area code 719. You are live and on air. And I believe I know who this is. This is the Mama Cat. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing great, Debbie.
This is great. Thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. Hey, Ben.
Hi. We haven't talked. You're not the lady out in Colorado Way, are you?
I am.
That's the Colorado woman.
The grandson called Tyler.
Yes. Did you hear that show by any chance, Spencer?
Yes, I did.
10 years old.
The other daft thing, I have had this stupid memory for conversations. Well, it's not stupid, but yeah, I remember conversations. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, he's 10 years old.
As soon as you said,
go ahead.
Because he was the next person I was going to ask. Oh, shut up.
Hey,
Spencer, I wanted to mention something to you. A couple years ago, I tried to start a group of people so that we could help the homeless. You know, our homeless population grows every year, and there's so many people on social media saying, you know, if you can't afford a house, you don't deserve an animal. And I was, that's what how it was. I was doing to help a guy, and his dog was real sick. And so I did a fundraiser to raise money to help the dog get, she had to have some kind of surgery. And I had so many nasty comments about, you know, that if they can't afford to feed themselves, how the hell are they going to feed an animal? And basically saying they don't deserve the companionship of an animal. And I had to go toe-to-toe with these people and tell them, look, some of these people, the only thing they have is that animal. It's the only compassion that they have. And if they're not allowed to share that compassion with an animal, I mean, what the hell kind of society are we that we are going to, what, are we going to go take their animals away from them? So I started a fundraiser to help the homeless people feed their animals. And it actually, and we did set aside for the people, but getting the word out without all the hassle from the general public, I found was extremely difficult. So I went to the soup kitchens and to the homeless shelters and areas where, you know, some homeless people are setting up camp, and I posted flyers. Call this number or contact somebody at this place, you know, to inquire about food assistance. And the program has just taken off, and it's been a godsend to a lot of those people. And, you know, the satisfaction that they feel knowing that they're able to feed their animal and they can feed them and they don't have to beg people for money to help feed their animal, it's just a great feeling to know that they're able to feed those animals. And the fundraiser is ongoing, you know, so it's always being replenished. And, you know, I have to always, you know, renew the flyers and just go to these people and let them know we do care. And, yes, we're here to help you out if you need help.
That's awesome,
so
Mark.
So how many years have you been doing this then?
I think this is 3 years now.
Wow. Because it's never easy.
Check that out.
No, it's not. And then, you know, Debbie touched on something about the kids. Years and years back when my kids were young, we had a really bad problem with the neighborhood kids for shooting the pigeons. And, you know, a lot of people don't like pigeons. They're rats with wings. They're this or that, whatever. It's still a creature. They don't deserve to be shot and just left to die or some other critter come along and eat them. So my daughter brought home this pigeon, and it had been shot probably 8 years with a BB gun. So that it was one of the neighbors, and we know that all the, so after I brought the pigeon, I had to go through the principal and get the okay, of course, but I brought the pigeon to every single class. And I showed them this bird, and I was like, this bird will never know its mom and dad. It'll never be able to play with its brothers and sisters. It will, for the rest of its life, have to depend on a human being to feed it, to love it, to keep it warm. all because somebody thought it was cool to take a BB gun and shoot it out of the air. And when it fell, it broke its wing and its leg. And I started out at the first grade. I went to the second grade class, third grade class, fourth grade class. I had two little boys that you could see the tears welling up in their eyes. So I was pretty sure I found who did what. And I brought that bird every month into the school to all the classes and let them see the bird's progress. Rough shape. And I let them know what we were doing and how I was taking care of them. And, you know, this is what we do for animals. And, you know, I just shared everything with them. And before you know it, I've got kids coming to me saying, there's an injured pigeon here or there's an injured pigeon. I got 54 birds, mostly all pigeons, in that first year of rescuing that one pigeon.
Wow.
That's incredible.
It's amazing.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. We got to start with the children because those kids went home and shared the experience with their parents, and the word spread. They called me the pigeon lady. That was in the early 90s. I was the pigeon lady in the neighborhood. People would bring me pigeons from all over the city, and I and on the school. But when I would hold, it was needed to do. And of all birds that I had over the years, I only lost 3 birds. So, you know, the kids are who really helped me spread the word that, you know, they're not rats with wings. They're not disposable. They're not there for us to take our aggression out on. They're not target practice. They're not, you know, and that bird was very loving. They know when we say. There. Hello, did I lose ya?
Okay, there you are.
Slightly.
I just lost you for a second. But you said 50 pigeons. I thought you fell off the boat. I don't know. I was going to say, it's your life raft or something. You know?
Send me a boat.
Yeah, but that's great. And tell Skyler that Spencer remembered him from the U.K.
So I will definitely tell him that. Yep.
Yeah.
He'll love that.
Oh, yes, he will. He will. His
he's
head
out,
will grow so big that he's not going to be able to go out of the room.
He's out in the ferals right now.
Oh, yeah? And Allie,
well,
what's she doing? Tell I said hi, too. Because she spoke,
she's
you know.
She's cleaning the cat. And Skylar is washing, sanitizing all the bowls right now. So.
Okay. Tell them both
gotta
I said hello. That's right.
I will.
That's the main thing. You know, but they're, what they're doing and helping you out and all the work you're doing, too, Ray, is so, so meaningful. Because all lives matter, including all the animals. You know, every one
every
of
single.
Them. And we can't, you know, they need to be treated fairly and live their life in comfort. And, because they're awesome to
well,
have as
you know,
pets.
Like I tell my grandkids, it says in the Bible, every last sparrow will be counted in the end day. And if God is going to take the time to count every single sparrow, that should tell you that every single animal on the planet matters. Every single animal.
That's right. Because their lives are important too. You know, they want to live
well,
in
comfort.
You can't ignore them and, you know, throw them to, kick them to the curb and not give them their rights. There's a lot
well,
of things
know,
that it's unbelievable.
They weren't given to us to abuse. They were given to us to love and take care of. So, you
That's
know.
Right. And they deserve their rights granted, not ignored. So, you know, they feel pain just like we do. They have feelings.
Absolutely.
They just, you know, just speaking a different language. But the bond between human and animals, it is beautiful. It's magical. If you open your heart to them, the ones that don't need to give them a chance.
And language
let them get in.
Because love is love.
And Spencer would even, you know, agree to that because he's, you know, with front lines bringing people together on social media. I mean, that's our landing strip right there, how much stuff we could get out there. Because even Facebook, it has 1.8 billion members worldwide.
Yeah.
Not all of them are active, but that's a lot of members. And you look at Twitter.
That's a lot of eyes that we...
LinkedIn, Pinterest. Yeah. So press that share button, you know, get the info out there. But put some meaningful time in, you know, multitask and everything. And
I'm gonna step back and let you and Spencer finish out the show. I just wanted to call in and say hi and Tell Spencer how great I think he's doing, and thank you so much for everything you're doing, Spencer.
Wonderful man. Real men love animals, right there, right, Ray?
Absolutely.
Real women love animals, real children, because they need our voices. They need to be treated fairly. We want to be treated fairly. And so do they. And we got to make sure that better lives and futures for them. And everybody, I want to bring up that website again, reboundog.com, reboundog.com. And you can sign up to be a member and even, you know, share the website to whatever social media sites. Because there's a lot of websites out there. I mean, probably millions. So how are you going to know about it unless you keep sharing it and informing people, talking within ourselves and social media? So keep up the great work there, Spencer. We're running out of time here, down to 2.5 minutes. But I want to really thank you for coming on this evening. Calling in from UK, everybody. Give them a standing ovation. I hope you have a good night's rest, too, Spencer, and looking forward to having you back on.
Thank you.
And we'll be on in communication on LinkedIn there. You know, stay in touch. And I'm still in that group.
We will do.
So, yeah, Pet Advocacy and Therapy Professionals Network, everyone, LinkedIn.
What I'd like to do before I go very briefly, you talked about membership. I'd like to reciprocate for you having me on this show by offering you an honorary lifetime membership of Rebound Dog. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll send you a membership certificate over. It's literally in its stages. It's literally, you know, it's a WordPress site at the moment, but there you are. You've got lifetime membership for free.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so meaningful and heartfelt. Yes. Hey, a big hug coming to you to the UK, okay?
Thank you.
From the United States of America. Florida.
There you go.
But,
and what's your...
60 seconds. Yeah, go ahead, Ray. Ray, go ahead.
What?
Yeah.
I was just wondering what his Facebook page was.
I don't use it very much, and it's closed down. I'm quite a private person amongst all this.
Oh, okay.
I use it for groups, but it's the same thing that you have with people that are very negative to you when you're raising funds for pets for homeless people and saying that, you know, all this.
Oh, yeah.
I find a lot of stuff on Facebook is diatribe. There is good work done on it, but it's not my favorite platform, so I don't tend to use it. I don't tend to publicize it. If you look for me, you'd have to request to join. you have to request to contact me. So it's not my favorite address.
And Spencer and Ray, Mama Cat, we got 10 seconds. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. Hello in the UK, everybody that's listening in. And I want to welcome you back next time, Spencer. Thank you so much.
You.
And hope you get a good night rest. Thank you for the lifetime membership that's coming.
You're
all
welcome.
Right?
My pleasure. Take
all
care.
All in hand. United
right.
We stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. And may God bless.